No. I got the worst news ever as far as someone who's a perfectionist. I got a grade back and it was a C. And I thought, that's the best thing I've ever done. How to get a C. You were supposed to use sources that were not John Piper, one theologian. You're supposed to use creeds and confessions that only. It was great, he says. It was wonderful. I enjoyed reading it. Just didn't follow directions, so you got a C. So we're working on that. Okay, all right, well, I'll just pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all your many blessings. We do, Lord, offer prayer for strength, for support, for, Lord, your grace in our lives as we are into schoolwork and into other kinds of things. We pray, God, that you'd provide for us the strength and the energy to see this all the way through. Lord, we pray for our hearts as we're about to go and take the elements. Prepare us to receive your supper, and I pray that we do that in an honorable way. Guide us for the next few minutes as we discuss some of these things. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is from a book called Soul Detox, and here's the way it starts. And it's really good, really good. There's a pastor who wrote this book, and here's what he says. Today's lesson, the pastor in the book, I'm sort of going through, had a day free. He wanted to go see a movie.
Can you see that?
Oh, my goodness. Wondering, like, everybody's looking up there. He had a day, it was free. He was deciding what to do with his time. I'll go see a movie, he thought. And he's not a guy who's like onto pop culture, and this is a few years ago. He's at a huge church, a couple thousand. So he asked around a few years ago. Someone recommended it to him. Oh, there's an hilarious movie that just came out called The Hangover. Oh, yeah. You gotta go see it, Pastor. You got to go see it. He had no idea what it was about. He asked some church staff members. And this was where it gets crazy. They agreed. You ought to go see that. It's the funniest thing I've ever seen. Oh, okay. And here's where it gets kind of weird. They really enjoyed it. It was the funniest movie they'd ever seen, worth checking out. So without further ado, he was on his way out. He was even about to think, well, maybe this is friendly for the kids. I might just bring them with me. I don't know much about this movie. I've only been told it's a funny movie. So it might, let me just check real quick on this website right before leaving the door, keys in hand. See what this is all about. You know, don't want to bring the kids to something that's PG-13. He decided one last check on the internet, and here's how he puts it. Since I wasn't sure what The Hangover was rated, my last checkpoint was a little research to see if this movie was good for the whole family or just Amy and I. What I discovered floored me. The comedy has its fair share of non-friendly family scenes, intense language, sexual situations. The rough spots include 91 variations of the bomb. Apparently, it can function as a noun, verb, an adjective, maybe even a conjunction. So 41 excretory words, 14 references to a person's behind, 13 hells. To top it off, the hilarious movie has 31 versions of someone taking the name of the Lord in vain. When asked his staff about these stats, which I would have done, what are you doing saying I should go see his movie? Do you know how bad it is? They said, really? I didn't even recognize it was that bad. I didn't even know it had that many bombs in it. I wasn't paying attention. I didn't notice. How could you not notice 1 minute on average, he thought. Maybe you're thinking, though, wait. Can't we get carried away with all this, right? Can't we get carried away with standards for media and things like that? We can get carried away with that. Back in the Victorian era, this is not made up. They had these really grand pianos. Huge pianos took up the whole, like half the room. And they would place a big, huge thing over the piano to cover the legs of the piano. Do you know why? Oh, good. Thank you. They were so about being pure and clean, without the gospel, I should remind you, that they didn't want people, uncovered legs of any sort were bad. So, yep, this is the Victorian era. Even if it's a piano, it needs to be covered. Anybody else been to the Biltmore House?
Yes.
Okay. Do you recognize one thing? His room is over on that side of this massive estate. Her room is over on this side of this massive estate. It's Victorian era, the end of it. But the whole idea was people are going to come here and they're going to think we stay in the same room as husband and wife. Oh, no. Shame upon shame. We can't have that. So, Victorian era. Yes, you can get carried away with some of this stuff. So, or how about this one? That's one end of it. Here's the other end. You might be thinking. A lot of people say this. They say, profanity, violence, and sex in movies, they don't bother me. I'm unaffected by all this. All right? It's not that big of a deal. Remember, I used to think this way too. If you're a Christian, though, wouldn't you agree that there has to be a boundary somewhere? There has to be a boundary somewhere. A way to discern what pleases God and what moves us closer to Him instead of farther away. And can we trust our own sensibilities, really? Can you really endure an onslaught of bomb after bomb after bomb of cuss words and not be affected? I don't think you can. I don't think you can. So in college, we had a professor, and this is not a Christian college, it's USC Aiken. She had her PhD. She was Dr. something. I don't want to give her name out. She might still be there. Dr. something. But she was young. She was about just a little bit older than we were. It was her first job. And she said, okay. It was Thanksgiving break. She said, you're about to go to Thanksgiving break. Some of you need some extra credit. I'm going to offer you a chance for that extra credit. Here's what you need to do. Everything's quiet. You got grandma, grandpa, everybody, cousins. Here's what you need to do. When everything's quiet and you're at the dinner table, I want you to know the power of words. Ask someone to pass the butter, but ask it like this. And it had a slew of profanity in it. She said, just as nice as you can, just say that. And write about the reactions that you get. You'll get an extra 10 points to your last final grade. So just drop some bombs right when it's quiet and write about that experience. Now that's wicked. Horrible, wicked. No. You should have a good grade and not have to depend on that and not do that. But the point was made. Words actually do have power. And when you're in an environment that you've placed yourself in on purpose and it's just absorbed by your ears constantly, it has an effect. It has an effect and it has a power. It's kind of crazy to think it doesn't affect you. So, I guess you could say I'm a bit concerned, discouraged. Christians are lining up, money in hand, to be entertained by stuff that does their soul damage. We're not just like victims here. We're like signing up for it. Please, lead me into a way that this pleases the Lord, who cares so much for my soul. Here's my money. Take it, please. It seriously does something to it, and yet we line up with money in hand asking for more. So if I stood up here and matched the script of, what's the name of that movie we just were talking about? The Hangover. If I matched that script, all right, right now, you would be mortified. You should be. Things would not go well for me. You would be mortified. So why is it okay to pay money and be entertained by that? Which is hitting our eardrums all the time. Someone might say, wait, that's a different context. That's church, and this is something I do to relax. True, but we aren't little machines that can just turn it off and just go, okay, now it's time for the church mindset. It always drove me crazy back in the few years ago. We'd be in the van. None of y'all have done this except for as a joke, but we'd be in the van on a trip, and somebody would say, hey, be quiet, it's a church trip. Oh, so you can't talk like that when it's not a church trip? Oh, you know, that whole idea of, and I wouldn't do it like that. That'd be kind of creepy. But the idea of, oh, okay, so you shut it off right here because you just opened a church door and walked into it. So anyway, what we're talking about right now is your media diet. What is it? Does it really affect you? Let's go with that said. I know. I'm not talking about these up here. These are just examples. It's the Halo guy, right? I know. It's coming back, I think, right? Yeah. The way it's supposed to have been closed. Yeah, yeah.
With,
there was one of the best, I mean, in the 80s, there was one of the best TV shows ever. And it ran for like 6-7 years. And then just ratings went down and people were more about the A-Team or something like that. So it was not looking good for them. But for 6 or 7 years, they were on top, doing well. And they figured out, we need to end this somehow. And how'd they end it? The very last episode, like, you know, people get married and people pass away. And you're like, what? And in the very last scene was it peeled back and it's a snow globe. This autistic child is playing with a snow globe. And the whole show was just that. It was like credits. And the whole country was like, what? That's the worst way ever to end the show. I don't know why he had to.
This is the easy way.
Yeah. It was some kid's imagination. I think it's called St. Elmo's Fire. It was a show about a hospital drama. But with that said, TV, books, movies, games, things like that are not evil in themselves. They're not evil just for being a book or a performer or whatever like that. But out there, the world's values, what they see life like, is pressing down on you. They are sending you a message. They are. Just know that you're sort of on enemy territory. I'm not talking about Taylor Swift or the Gilmore Girls. I'm saying all stuff that you watch has a message. And it's going to press down on you. And it's going to tell you how life should be. Things like that, and how to deal with stuff. So you're kind of on enemy territory. So sort of like one time, you probably had this situation. I visited a church very much different theologically than what I'm used to. And I heard the pastor or something say something like that in a Sunday school. And you know, I was about to go, wait. Then I remembered, wait, you're at somebody else's church. It's not enemy territory, but it's territory that they're not used to. Don't be that guy. Don't be like, wait a minute, actually, I know I'm outnumbered here, 300-1, but that's wrong. No, no. It's not right to expect you just walk right into a different place and think that everyone will change around you. However, we rarely recognize the negative impact our cultural diet has. Like a dieter with a new bag of potato chips, we start with one and two and suddenly find ourselves thirsty with an empty bag of chips. No one wakes up in the morning and says, I think I'll waste an entire day playing graphic video games or watching this movie, which I shouldn't, or listening to this profanity-laced music. The subtlety of it all, the media-saturated life we have, is its pervasive influence. We take it all in all the time, and little by little, we become desensitized to how harmful, ungodly material, one pixel at a time. So I know most of y'all well enough to know, though, all right? That's not most of your stories, okay? But I can relate to not planning on waking up and watching 8 hours of Gilmore Girls, right? I've been there. Just kidding. Mara loves it. Mara loves it. And I've walked in like, what is this? And so I've watched an episode or two, 24, 25. But it's not on the list. It's weird how that can happen. Like, you don't wake up going, I'm going to watch Netflix for like 9 hours. Lo and behold, you do it when you have a free day. I know, they go, next episode coming up, and it's almost like a hook. Yeah.
And then, like, you're, like, trying to decide and starting.
Yeah, we're going to do it for you.
Yeah.
Listen to Netflix. Okay, for example, this is the pastor talking, not me. How we can become desensitized. This is him, not I, okay? First time I watched Ultimate Fighting, I honestly turned my head several times. Two guys kicked, punched, and wrestled each other in a locked cage until one was clearly nearer to death than the other. Blood came on one guy's eye as he was pinned to the ground. It was gross. His attacker sensed an opportunity and sent an elbow after elbow and pounded the guy. Suddenly, the guy at the bottom miraculously rolled and wrapped his leg around the attacker's arm, pinned him in a human vice. Then I couldn't believe it. I watched this one guy, and it was a bone thing. It was bad. It was like, oh, I shouted as I turned from the screen. This is the guy I shouted and turned away, feeling like I might gag. Yet, as gross and as wrong as that seemed to me, I was strangely drawn to it. The next time I watched a similar fight, I winced at the violent blows, but somehow it didn't seem quite as bad. Sure, the fight was brutal and there was still a lot of blood, but my perspective changed. It is not that bad. Each time I watched it, the brutality, it didn't seem quite as bad. Now, years and dozens of fights later, I'm the first one to shout, "Snap his arm!" as I watch the fights with my two sons. And he says, "Yes, my wife and I have had many discussions about this. So what's happened? The fighting hasn't changed. It's my standards that have changed. What used to bother me and disturb me and upset me has now become entertainment to me." And that's the subtlety of desensitizing you. That's how it happens. What once bothered you, after you watched it a couple times, it doesn't bother you anymore. You're entertained by it. And I just want to warn you. I don't think anybody here is going to be like, I know, Hannah, I know. we're here to hold you accountable to that. So so let's go to 1 Corinthians 5, shall we? 1 Corinthians 5. Don't tell anyone, but I cannot find my ESV.
Oh, goodness.
I'm a horrible Presbyterian. What is this? NIV. Believe it or not, that's one of the biggest fights I've ever seen on a seminary campus is about that. Kind of sad. There's something called the Message. I don't know if you've heard of it. And somebody, well, one young lady did say that. The Message is the same thing as Scripture. And oh, the wrath that fell on her.
It's a translation. It's not the real thing.
It's not translation. It's not a translation. It's a... what do you call it? It's an interpretation, not a translation.
Oh. Whatever! Get out of my face!
That's how it works. So, with that said, 1 Corinthians 5 is about church discipline, but it matters to us as we talk about the media diet we have in so many ways. Just to set this up, this is kind of gross. A guy in the church in Corinth does something so nasty, so vile, so disgusting, that Paul says here that even the pagans don't do it. And he's in a church. He decided to start, seeing his stepmother. Not only that, but the people in this new church were laughing about it and proud that it was happening. Yes, verses 1 through 5. Let's go there. It is actually reported to me that there is sexual immorality among you as of the kind that does not even occur among pagans. A man has his father's wife. And you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out the old fellowship, the man who did this? Even though I'm not physically present, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. Yes, judge. When you were assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand the man over to Satan so that the sinful nature or the flesh may be destroyed and that his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. I got out of hand pretty quick. Hand the man over to Satan. What do you think that even means? Hand him over to Satan? What in the world? Yeah, don't follow him by kicking him out of church. Because other parts, Paul will say, Satan's domain is the lowercase g, the god of this world blinding people. Throw him out to that domain. To that domain where you're missing the grace of God in such a way that you hear the gospel and all that other stuff. It meant that outside of the body of believers, people who love Jesus, outside of that is the god of this world, lowercase g, blinding people to the reality of sin and judgment. Kick him out for the destruction of his flesh. NIV actually got that right, the sinful nature. This doesn't mean that his body will be hurt. It means that his sin nature, so that the sin nature can be overcome. hand him over. This guy shouldn't have the protection and guardianship of Christ, which all of you have as being in the church. You have a certain protection. He is going to be kicked out and not have that. All right, hand him over. He is now out of Christ's kingdom. I guess you could call it Satan's temporary realm. And the last part about destruction of his flesh means to soften him up. Okay? Sort of like the prodigal son. Maybe there will be a time where he looks at the pigs and goes, what am I doing? What am I doing? That's the goal. So it's not kick him out and shun him. There's other groups of Christians who look at church discipline that way. What would you call them? The Quakers. All right, they do this public shunning. Turn their back to the person they've kicked out. That's not so much it. It's kick him out so that he will realize, what am I doing? Come to his senses. So anyway, okay, here's the point though. The next verse, verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works through the whole bunch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast so that you may be a new unleavened batch. It's the same meaning behind the old proverb. A whole herd of swine falls down in the fields through the disease in one. And here's another one. One discolored grape infects another. We can do this with no problem, although the text is about a guy in the church. We can say the same thing about us individually. Whatever you're letting in into your life through the choices of media can do that. All right? It can do that. If it's taken in enough, it can produce toxins in your thinking. Your thinking can be all messed up because of the diet you've had constantly. And it all only takes just a little. Here's a gross, gross, gross analogy. Forgive me for being kind of crude with this. It was in the book. The idea here is that sin can take over. A little bit of poison can go a long way to destroying a life. And this is straight from the book. So a loving mother demonstrated this principle to her son, Cade. When his friends invited him over to watch a movie, one just released on DVD and rated PG-13, Cade begged his mom to let him see it. I'm guessing he's about 12 or 11. His mom asked him the usual questions. Is it a good movie? Will it hurt your Christian walk? Well, knowing that it had some less than appropriate scenes, Cade shuffled from one foot to the other and searched for the right words. Not wanting to lie to his mom, he tried to walk on the edge of the truth. Well, it's not as bad as some of the other movies. And all my friends have seen it. There's only a little bit of bad stuff in it. He held his breath, waiting for his mom's final verdict on his movie-going fate. His mom smiled and said, of course, honey. Of course, as long as there's only a little bit of bad stuff in it. Cade was stunned. Before she changed her mind, the grateful teen bolted for his room, texted his friends the good news, and then lost himself in his favorite game. Now, you probably can see where this is going. She headed to the kitchen and started implementing her plan. She selected her son's favorite brownie mix from the pantry. She added the water, eggs, the oil. She stirred the mixture together in a big white bowl. While the oven preheated, the crafty mom strolled into the backyard for her secret ingredient. Searching carefully in the grass, she scooped up something that their dog Ginger had recently left behind. She returned to the kitchen, stirred in a teaspoon of it, poured it to the nonstick pan, set the timer for 20 minutes. Just as he pulled the brownies from the oven, Cade bounced down the stairs. Do I smell my favorite brownies? You bet, his mom said. Letting them cool for a few minutes, Cade's mom cut them into warm brownies and put them in a plate. Just as his fork hit the plate, she stopped him and said, just so you know, I added a special ingredient. She paused without cracking a smile. I put a teaspoon of what Ginger left in the brownies. What? Are you crazy? Why'd you do that? He choked while pushing the plate away. Cade's mom went to the fridge and poured her son the usual glass of milk. Don't worry, buddy. I only put a little bit in it. It's only got a little bit of bad stuff. He rolled his eyes, but she'd made her point. Cade realized that he shouldn't see the movie. Gross, I know, but it made the point. I'll have it. It's just got a little bit in it. Huh? Okay, let me be honest. With Thomas, I actually might see that. If there's some movie coming out called Stupid Movie 9, And it looks like that. I might actually see that. But there's Stupid Movie 9 is something that he wants to see and knows he shouldn't in 13, 14 years from now. I think I'll allow it. But he must come back and he must report to me and his mom and one elder how the movie lines up with the Christian worldview and how it differs from the Christian perspective. One page, single-spaced. What message was this movie trying to impress on his mind, and how did he handle that message? I'm not one for going, like, separate from culture. We're not going to even engage in that. I want him to understand you live in a world that wants to give you a message, and I want you to write a paper after watching it. How does it line up with the Christian worldview? What would you change so that it would? And you're going to have to present that to me, Mara, and Anella. Not in a shame on you, but we just want to see where you are in your walk with regards to this. And probably my guess would be the next time you probably wouldn't want to do it. So with that said, going back to the original illustration of the brownies, do you have a little bit of poison in your intake? So what about some of the magazines right now? Let's just start with Maxim. Okay, what's the main message of Maxim? I don't know if you've seen this. Hopefully you haven't. It's a dude's magazine. Main message is don't commit to anyone. The ladies are there just as objects, okay? They're just there, and you are your own kind of God. You just kind of set the agenda, and you kind of live your life the way you want. It's really dark behind the six-pack abs on the front cover. It's really dark. Smiling guy on the cover, but the message is pretty dark. But it only has a little in it. Okay, Romans 12:2. Let's do one more. Romans 12:2. I'm really glad the mom stopped him before he ate some of it, because I've heard it the other way where that was not the case. Romans 12:2. We'll start with verse 1. 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And here it is, verse 2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. Now, here's the message, how the message goes with that. You know, like it's not God's word, but it's a, I don't want to say close, but it's a guy's interpretation of it, and it's pretty good. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what he wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. That's what God does. So I've heard it like this. The world is sort of like this mold, a press, like in a factory, and it's coming after everybody who's inhabiting the world. Believe what we believe, value what we value, do life this way. Paul here says, don't do it. Don't do it. I love that paraphrase. The idea there is that there are two competing areas. God, who brings out the best part of you, and the world, which is good at bringing out the worst, the most immature, the most vile. We all probably, I can speak as somebody in their 30s, if I can imagine you too. There are certain friends I get around whose walk is not as straight and narrow as maybe it should be. And if I'm around them long enough, I stoop all the way down to their level. And their jokes become my jokes. And they're stupid jokes. I'll just face the facts. They're immature. And I drop down to that level if I'm around them enough. That's how the world works. If you start going after all these messages, well, you're going to go down with it. In Matthew 7, Jesus talks about there being this really wide gate that leads to all kinds of destruction, right? All kinds. But it's full. And it has a lot of people traveling on it. The other path is pretty narrow, doesn't have many on it. But it's the one path that actually leads to life. Simply put, the majority aren't always right. That's why we are not a true democratic society. What are we? We're not a true democratic society. What are we? Anybody? We don't just... Like, say, hey, this whole marijuana thing, let's just poll the whole U.S. and decide on it. We don't do that. What are we? Starts with an R. Republic. Republic. So, yes. No, I'm kidding. The majority aren't always right. They could be wrong about some things. The majority can be wrong. That's why we're not... straight down the board, democratic society. We elect leaders to vote for us. Look at Nazi Germany a few years ago. Many people liked Hitler. They probably didn't know everything, but he didn't force them into voting them in. There was some weird stuff he did to get in. But anyway, just because the majority view it a certain way doesn't mean it's the right view. There he is. In fact, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but let's go there. When God judges a people, one of the things he does is he sends them bad leaders who are very selfish. That's how God judges a people, who they actually want them to rule over them. If you look at the book of Judges, the Old Testament, when he judges a people, he sends them really bad leadership, and they wanted it in the first place. Yeah. Off the soapbox. Back to what's at hand. A wise person once told me, just because you could do something doesn't mean you should. And the truth is, you and I have tremendous freedom in Christ to do a lot of things. If we're only going to follow the rules so we can feel good about what great Christians we are, then we're missing the point, not to mention a lot of joy. We must learn how to discern, balancing the freedom we have in Christ with clear standards God gives us. For example, I could break the law and drive 20 miles over the limit, right, and still go to heaven. I have that freedom, I guess you'd say. I could do that. I could break it 5, 10, 15, and still make it to heaven. Should I? No, but I could. Or I could eat tons of junk food, never exercise, become lazy and out of shape and still love Jesus. I could do that. That's not a bad idea. No, it is a bad idea. I could eat nothing but junk food, not exercise, not anything like that, and still love Jesus. Yes, yes. Should I? No. No. This would not be wise. Could I go into massive debt, buying things that I can't afford, and still be a follower of Jesus? I could do that. Yeah. Should I? No. Just because you could doesn't mean you should. You do have a massive amount of freedom in Christ. And the lotto, too, as well. I like that picture. We do have the freedom. The freedom to do stuff that won't kill us, but that doesn't mean it is really wise to do it. I could go on and watch the worst of the worst in theaters right now. I don't know much about those. Well, the horrible bosses I don't know much about. I do know that probably was not the standard of all purity.
Couldn't even sit in the first 3 minutes.
Really? Okay. Probably not the standard of all purity, as well as the American Pie series and Hangover series. It's not wise to go and do that. You could, but it's not wise. You have the freedom. Should you? Is that really how God wants you to use the time he has given you right here and right now? Is watching that going to cause worship, a deeper desire to know him and love him? Probably not. Probably not. Well, you could say not. But I'm not one to draw the line in the sand. A pastor I agree with jokes about this when he says, you know our rules here in church. Don't watch rated R movies unless it's about the Son of God. Like the Passion. We don't watch rated R movies unless it's about Jesus. He jokes that way. Sometimes it may be really obvious. If someone invites you to go see a movie called The Virgin Suicides or Hell's Revenge, the title alone should probably serve as a warning. Not too sure about that one. When your buddy from school invites you to do vodka shots before going to a Lord of Death concert, you'll want to think twice. If your priority is a pure life, then you should skip the party. My guess is, though, your choices aren't that obvious, and you might have a struggle with this in 2015. Some people might say, well, let your conscience be your guide. No, because we can have a seared conscience. You know what it means to be seared? Anybody? What does it mean to have a seared steak? Anybody? Yeah, yeah.
Really high heat.
Right, really high heat. And what happens? It becomes crispy. comes crispy, hardened. A steak that has been seared is brought is on the outside. If left too long, it will be like leather. After enough warnings, wrong stuff coming into your life, that can be your conscience. On the outside, pretty hard. Not an accurate judge. How many times have I heard someone say, blank doesn't bother me? And that blank could be crude humor, cussing, violence, fill in the blank. Just because it doesn't bother you doesn't mean that it shouldn't. Just because it doesn't bother you doesn't mean that it necessarily shouldn't. There are two short Bible verses that offer the best guidance. And here it is. 1 Thessalonians tells us, test everything, hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. Test it. If you find good, God-honoring content, material, or lyrics, hold on to it. If it's truly helpful, enjoy it. In fact, I would even go one step further and say, if it highlights the idea of redemption in any manner, right, or sacrifice, you might want to kind of attune your ear to that. That's a theme that runs all through Scripture. Sacrifice, redemption, these kind of things. It might not have the word Jesus on it, but definitely you can draw parallels. I would say don't throw that out, you know, unless it's got other themes that aren't good. But if there's even a little bit of something toxic or hurtful to your soul, avoid it, get away from it, turn it off, put it down, walk away, leave the building. We'll close with this, three things to think about next time you're challenged with something that might not honor God, yet you have the freedom to do it. Number one, think about this. Am I being entertained by sin? Am I being entertained by sin? Is this article, book, movie, show, whatever it is it sinful? Just because something is entertaining doesn't mean it's good for you. Just because it's entertaining doesn't mean it's good for you. I remember going to, they used to have a comedy stand-up place in Augusta. And I don't even want to tell you the guys. I'll go ahead and tell you. I think it was Bob Saget. That was a guy who was on that show called Full House a long time ago. He was the safe dad. I don't even know if you know the show I'm talking about. You do? Okay, safe dad.
Yeah.
He's there at the comedy thing, and he was one of the nastiest guys I've ever heard. It's like he kind of played on that, hey, I played the good dad. Beep, 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 beep. Like, oh my goodness. But everybody was entertained. Just because it's entertained doesn't mean it's good. Imagine if I told you a very funny racist joke. Would my joke be appropriate just because it's funny? Funny doesn't make it that way. Funny doesn't make wrong right. Number two, is it pleasing to God? In case you forget who God is, he's the all-knowing, ever-present, all-powerful creator and sustainer of the universe. He's so holy, we can't even look at him. Our lives should bring glory and honor to God. If it doesn't honor God, don't consume it. Number three, does this lure me away from Christ? Is what I'm consuming drawing me closer to Christ or taking me away from him? If the latter, then I don't want to have anything to do with it. We'll close with this and we'll say our prayer. If you don't think anything is wrong with all the cultural influences that invade your life daily, chances are you're interpreting right and wrong with a distorted lens. Our church shoots, this is him talking, our church shoots videos every week to use different areas of ministry. Every time one of our video team members records me, we hold up a white piece of paper in front of the camera before starting. Anybody know why that goes? Why you do that? You hold up white. Well, they do that because the camera can't interpret colors until it sees true white. Without the white balance, a blue shirt would look gray. A red flag would look kind of pinkish. So once the camera sees true white, it knows how to discern all the other colors. Once you see pure white or truth, you can clearly see what you've been taking in might be harmful. So it's kind of the analogy of that camera. Great analogy. You have to hold up this, like, really blinding white thing and then drop it, and then you can record. That's the way it is with us. We can't discern until we're confronted with the Holy, with the Lord Almighty. You can clearly see so much of what you're taking in could be harmful and displeasing to God only as you see the white. So let's pray. and then we'll get ready. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for all that you do and are for us. We pray, God, that if there are things in our lives which bring you displeasure, which draws us away from you, the one who loves our soul so much, would you gently put that on our minds somehow as to what needs to be kicked out, what needs to be taken in. And Lord, again, we pray for our souls as we're about to walk into worship, as we're about to hear from your word, as we're about to take the elements. Would you prepare us for this great endeavor? In Jesus' name, amen. One other thing before we head on out. As you can see...